Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Pray for Brother Pike. He's on the road, and pray that he'll have safe traveling, you know. You might also remember, pray for Brother Kelly. Brother Kelly has some physical things going on that he could use a touch from above. So pray for him, all right? Pray for him, if you would. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15. I mentioned her, I thought. Yes, sir, I thought I did. Yeah, good, appreciate it, yeah. I'd rather mention her twice than not at all, though, so. Yeah, amen. Yes, sir. Brother Mudd has terminal cancer for sure. I know he suspicioned that, but for sure, all right. Pray for Brother Mudd. Pray for Brother Mudd, if you would. First Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read one verse here in just a moment. There was somebody else I was going to mention to you that you might remember in prayer. But, oh, I know what I was going to tell you is they laid the lapel mic out for me tonight right back there, and I did everything except pick it up. So I'll just lean into this one, all right, and preach to it. They had it there, and I just didn't pick it up, so my fault. Won't you look at verse 23, if you will. A very sad story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we get really to the climax of verse 23. The Bible says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of be wise about rebellion. Now, the world doesn't think much about witchcraft, all right? The Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. The world doesn't think anything about that. The world kind of lifts up and kind of gets excited about witches. They think of it as a good thing, if you would, but they think very little about rebellion too. All right, if there's one thing I believe going on, I believe the world's in rebellion against God. And you say, where does it come from? Basically, it comes from the last part of this verse, where the Bible says, "Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." And that's essentially what rebellion is. You boil it down to everything else, it's we rejected the word of God. The world doesn't think much of witchcraft, doesn't think much about rebellion, but God thinks otherwise, all right? So I want to look at rebellion just a little bit tonight, just a few things about it. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. You might say, well, preacher, we're not in rebellion. Well, I sure hope not, all right? Don't want you to get there either, okay? But man, it's amazing to me how many people rebel against God. And by the way, it's not just young people. It's young married. It's middle aged. It's golden agers, old folks. People rebel against God, and what a mistake it is. And notice what the Bible says about the rebel here in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 11. Just the first part of the verse, the Bible says, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion." That is what the rebel has a craving for. He has a craving for evil, all right? The Bible said he seeketh only rebellion. That's the only craving, the only desire. That's the drive that motivates the rebel, all right? It's all about evil. It's all about don't want anything, you know, because he's consumed with a resentment and a resistance to all authority. And that's where rebellion comes out, all right? We rebel against authority. Look, God instituted authority. God put us under authority. He instituted government. It's a good thing to have government. And God holds those that sit in government accountable for what they do, but we're accountable for how we react to what's governed, okay? And a lot of people have a hard time with rebellion and rebelling against all authority. I can't help, it just came to mind, I hadn't planned it, but I once again, watch YouTube because it beats the entertainment that comes on normal television, and you can find such a variety, and I've ran across some videos of people that are saying, and if, you know, if you're in this persuasion, don't get mad at me, all right? These, what they call, I'd really never heard of them, sovereign citizens. And obviously you have, huh? Okay? So, but it's quite interesting to listen to them talk and what they say, you know. But the truth of the matter is they have a problem with authority. They just have a problem with authority. Now, the rebel that has that craving for evil, he may be driven by bitterness or hate, but one thing's for sure, he's driven to rebel. That's his thinking process, all right? His thinking process. You see it, it comes out this way. Hey, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. Hey, I don't need you or anyone else. The rebel idea. I don't need you. Hey, I'm going to do it my way, so leave me alone. The world's filled with people that think that way, and it's a rebellious attitude. And the last thing, you know, I don't have to obey you or anyone else. And, man, I've heard people say those kind of things. The amazing thing to me is you hear kids tell you that. They look at you and say, I don't have to do what you say. I don't have to do what you tell me to do. Where's that rebellious spirit come from, all right? Well, the rebel has a craving for evil, all right? Proverbs chapter 29, here's another thing about the rebel that it's characteristic of the rebel. In Proverbs chapter 29, look, if you will, in verse 19. Proverbs 29, verse 19. The Bible says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. There's one thing a rebel's characteristic of a rebel. He resists correction. He resists correction. Now, can I say this in all honesty? I don't know anyone who just gets in line to be corrected. None of us do. None of us like to be reprimanded. None of us like to be corrected. We'll try to avoid it if we can. Most people don't like correction. We don't like it. But there's a difference between not liking it and resisting it. Big difference between the two of them, you know. The wise man may not like to be corrected, but he understands its value and its importance. It's good. If we're wrong, we need to be corrected. If we've done wrong, we need to be corrected. You say, well, it was accidental. You still need to be corrected. And, you know, it's not necessary that everything have to be, you know, on purpose. Now, but at the same time, don't want you to be like some kiddos I know that no matter what happened or what they did, well, it was an accident. Yeah, but it still hurt, okay? It still hurt. You need to you need to realize that. And so the wise man will be, he'll take it. He understands the value, understands the importance of it. So he'll listen. He'll learn, all right? He'll pick up on that. But the rebel, on the other hand, he does everything. He refuses it. He forsakes it. Why? Because he doesn't want it, and he won't take it. Because he's determined to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. My wife and I, we've talked numerous times through the years, and more in this day, you find more and more out of kids, like even in the Christian school, really coming out of what you would call considered to be pretty good homes, but yet, man, they don't like to be told what to do. There's just something they do not like. I mean, not, you don't have to jump on them, but you just tell them what to do, and you can almost see their hackles rise up, okay? And you can see it there. Because it's just that idea, I don't want to be corrected. Don't tell me what to do. Don't do that, all right? Almost guaranteed, Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, the Bible says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Hey, almost guaranteed the rebel is going to have the wrong attitude toward the parents. Wrong attitude toward them, all right? They have that wrong attitude because they rebel against authority. Now, let me say this to you. I believe parents can raise rebels. All right? There is a verse in the New Testament that says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You can provoke them to wrath, all right? There's a way to do it, and it can be done. But you don't have to do it. But, man, you see the rebel, I think usually, I've never known of a rebel that didn't rebel and have the wrong attitude towards his parents. Always had that wrong attitude. But the Bible said we're commanded to love and to honor our parents. Now, you say, preacher, you don't understand. You didn't have the kind of parent I had. I don't know. You had your parents, I had my parents. But can I say this to you? As a child of God and as a Bible believer, we're responsible to obey what God says. Hey, if you had the greatest parents in the world, if you had mediocre parents, or you had lousy parents, you're to honor them. You're to honor them. Okay? Now, when we say that, it doesn't mean parents were perfect. I mean they were perfect, all right? They're not perfect. I've heard of parents that whooped their kids and then later on found out what they did. Okay? And come to find out, hey, they really didn't deserve the whipping, all right? They didn't deserve that. And shouldn't, but they didn't. They waited a little bit late to check that out, all right? Hey, I don't think that's a wise idea. You said, well, what about those parents? We're to honor them, okay? If for nothing else, you ought to do it because they brought you into this world. You say, preacher, my parents are dead. Mine are too. But if there's anything I want to do, I want to honor them. I want to honor them. I look back. Here I am. My parents both passed away. But you know what? I still don't want to bring reproach on their name. On their name. They're dead and gone, but I don't want to mess things up, okay? I don't want to cause people to think bad about them. You said, well, nobody would. Yes, somebody might, okay? Somebody might. Hey, most of the time, the first place the rebel shows up, he shows up at home. Man, I've seen young people display such rebellious attitudes toward parents that I usually, when I saw that without thinking, the first thought came to mind is, boy, you're lucky your parents aren't like mine. Because if you did what you just did, you would have sincerely regretted it, you know? But hey, whether your parents are good, bad, or indifferent, you're not to rebel against them, all right? You're not to rebel against them. You say, preacher, I've known of people whose parents encouraged them in sin and caused them to sin, introduced them to booze and to dope and all that kind of thing. You say, what about that? I'll tell you this, okay? Here's the way I feel. There's a right way to answer that. And there's a wrong way to answer that. There's a right way to answer it and a wrong way to answer it. You don't have to approve what they did, but man, there ought to be some respect in there and there ought to be some honor to them, all right? And by the way, I just want to stick this in because I couldn't figure anywhere else to put it in. I don't believe we ought to expect teenagers to rebel. You say, preacher, who does? I've heard people say it. I've heard Christian people say, well, they're teenagers, you know, they're going to go through that. Whoa, wait a minute. So what you're doing is you're saying in advance it's okay for them to rebel. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's no reason that we should say, well, they ought to be allowed. We ought to expect them to do that. No, you ought to expect and teach them right and expect them to do what's right. Not to rebel against their parents. And, hey, can I say this? You ought not to expect adults to rebel against their parents either, okay? You say, well, they interfere in my life. Move away. Move away. I've known folks, they would have had a happier life and a better life if they'd have moved away from their parents. Okay? Because their parents did interfere. You say, well, preacher, do you interfere in your kid's life every time I can? No, try not to do it, all right? Try not to do that. They're grown. I've tried to teach them. They're out there, you know. I don't want to interfere in their life. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If I think they're about to make a major mistake, I will say something to them. But if it's a minor thing, go ahead and let them make the mistake. They'll learn from it. But man, I don't want to interfere. They shouldn't rebel against parents. You that are grown, you shouldn't rebel against your parents, all right? You ought to honor them. You ought to honor them. But the rebel almost always starts in the home. That's where it gets, all right? Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 1, all right? Here's what goes on. Said, what's the problem with the rebel? Well, the Bible said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Go back to chapter 28 and look in verse 14. Verse 14. I want you to notice the last part of that verse right there with the, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. He said, what's wrong with the rebel? The rebel's got a calloused heart. All right? Got a calloused heart. The rebel has bowed himself up against authority so long that he's become indifferent, he's become inflexible, he's become insubordinate, he's become insensitive towards God and man. And man. It just, man, you know, it's me. It's all about me. I'll never forget the night myself and Brother Todd and Brother James made that visit. You remember that night, brother? I've never met anybody in my life that was such a rebel as this person was. We went to visit somebody. I'd been written a letter from a lady that lived in Hawaii. She gave me the address. It was kin to her, and she asked me to go see him. So I took those guys, and we went to see him. Never in my life have I ran across somebody that was so rebellious about everything. Now, he was nice in talking to us, but, man, I mean, he was rebellious against everything. All of law, nobody can tell me what to do. They can't make me get insurance on my vehicle. And he said they can't make me get it inspected. And I mean, it was just one thing after another. He was against everything and everybody, all right, all along the way. What's wrong? Well, he had somewhat of a calloused heart. Gotten insensitive, okay? And you say, well, do you correct him? Yeah, but when he's corrected, by the way, which he needs regularly, what happens is his defiance and his rebelliousness just seem to grow. All right? It just seems to, it's like poking a, my grandpa used to have a boar hog, and my cousin would irritate that hog to no end. And if he had fallen into that pen, he would not have survived, okay? But, I mean, it was like poking that. That's the way it is when you try to correct, oftentimes, the rebel. It just gets worse and worse. Why? Because he's got such a calloused heart about him, all right? Got such a hard heart. And it's gotten calloused over time, and he resists everything. But if there's one thing you can find about rebels, they flock together. They flock together. I don't know if it's because misery loves company or what, all right? But one rebel can always find another to bind together with and display their rebellion. I've always been amazed, worked with teenagers for years and years. I remember going to youth camp, taking a big group of teenagers, and when especially when we'd go to youth camp, I'd pretty much let anybody that had the money and wanted to go, go to camp. All right? And we'd take them now with the understanding, you're going to do what we tell you to do while we're there. All right? And the deal was, you don't, we'll put you on the bus, not our bus, but send you home and your parents can pay for your return trip. And we never had to do that. But on occasion, we took some that were kind of rebellious. And it was amazing to me, you could go to a camp with 300 teenagers, and before the first day was over, the rebels were together. They were out of different states, but they were together. They just flocked to each other, all right? I mean, it's like they got a stamp that can only be read on the forehead by other rebels, all right? But they just flock together. You think about the biblical situation. The one I think of that fits it so much in the scriptures is Absalom. Absalom led the rebellion against his dad. He had no problem finding men together and unite with him against his dad, the king. Why? Because they'll flock together. There's just something about it. They will come. You say, well, Absalom stole the hearts of the people. It's hard to steal the heart of somebody's right with God. It's hard to steal that heart. But if you're talking about one rebel getting hold of another rebel, or finding one that's kind of on the line, you know, they're hanging on the fence, you can usually get them off the fence on your side. And Absalom did. So, hey, rebels, they just flock together. Now you say, preacher, why are we going over this? Mainly for this point right here. Rebellion has consequences. Rebellion has consequences. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 11. The Bible said, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. One of the consequences of the rebel is a cruel messenger. All right? Is what he's getting at? I mean this, the rebel is going to be held accountable for his rebellion. You and I, we cannot sin and get away with it. You don't rebel and get away with that rebellion. There's an old saying, I heard it all my life. And when I first started hearing it, I thought, huh? But it goes like this, if you make your bed hard, you'll have to lie in it. When I first heard that, I didn't understand that. But then through the years, I saw so many examples of it. I thought, yeah, you made it hard, now you got to lie in it. Now, the problem is the rebel doesn't think it's going to happen, but it will. It's going to take place. You can count on it, all right? You said, well, cruel messenger, what's that going to be like? Well, it may be an executioner from the king. It may just be something from the top, you know, and the ultimate authority comes along and, hey, you get executed. It could be a police officer. Could be the police officer that shows up. But, you know, it could be some bully or relative that's sent to exact revenge on you. For your rebelliousness, it could be God himself that comes after you. Let me give you an example from the scripture. You remember Amnon? The Bible said Amnon had a friend, and his friend was the worst kind of friend, but he worked out a plan where Amnon was able and raped his half-sister Tamar. Now, David didn't do anything about it when he should have. He should have done something about it. He didn't, so Absalom took matters in his own hands. He became the cruel messenger for Amnon, and he killed him, all right? He killed what would amount to his stepbrother or half-brother, all right? And why? Well, because he was that cruel messenger. Amnon rebelled. Amnon was a rebel, and hey, by the way, so was Absalom. But one went against the other one. Hey, there's always consequences to rebellion. There's always consequences. Take your Bible back to Proverbs 29. We read this verse a while ago. I want to read it again because it's got so much truth there. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, keeping that in one hand, go back to chapter 20 and look at verse 20 with me, would you? Going back to that rebellious individual, Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. God said, I'll turn off your lamp. I'll take your life. You'll be suddenly destroyed, the Bible says. A sudden destruction, sudden death comes. That's what happened to Absalom, the rebel. Joab put him to death. Why? Joab was the cruel messenger that God used to get Absalom, the rebel. Right? You mark it down. Rebellion always causes problems. There will always be a price to pay down the road. It will happen. Okay. One of the things that happens in families because of rebellion is families splinter like crazy. And you run into people, they have no family that they do anything with. So they get up in the older individual and they find themselves all alone, all right? Let me wind up by saying this, you don't have to rebel. It is not a requirement. You don't have to rebel. You can be in bad circumstances, but you don't have to rebel, all right? I'm convinced rebellion begins in the heart. It starts inside before it ever shows up outside. So if you don't want to rebel, then you need to keep your heart right with God. You need to keep it right with your parents. You need to keep it right with all others in authority. You just need to work at it. You say, well, they do things wrong. Sure they do. Hey, there's police officers that are lousy police officers. All right, but all of them aren't lousy. So you don't rebel against that position simply because some are sorry, okay? If you get pulled over by one that's sorry and worthless, I'd suggest you say, yes, sir, no, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And whatever you say, okay. Just live with it, all right? Now, later on, if you want to report them, fine. But, man, don't start the fight on the side of the road, okay? Wrong idea. Wrong idea. Don't do that. Rebellion, though, starts within. It starts within. And rebellion grows because it gets fed. Because it gets fed. Oh, poor mistreated me. Oh, man, it's just not right. I've not been treated right in this life. And these people don't treat me right. And if they're not going to treat me right, I'm not going to do what they say. Watch out. I want to remind you, our responsibility as Christians is to God. It's to God. His word says he's put authorities in our life. We're to obey those authorities. We're not to fight with them, okay? We're to obey those authorities. And we're to have the right relationship that we should have. Don't go around thinking, well, you know, everybody's picking on me. Probably not. Probably not, okay? But man, when we start throwing the pity party, we can usually throw a big one, all right? We can get it out there. You know, now, you said, preacher, who do you think here is living in rebellion? Nobody. But you know some people that are. You know some people that are. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying you be wise. You don't need to rebel. And it's not wise to hang real close with those that do. just not real wise to hang real close to those that do. You say, well, I'm trying to help them. I understand. But you get to hanging too close with that one that's rebelling, you may get struck by what happens to them. It can splash over, if you will, onto you. It can involve you. I've had a teenager tell me one time, he was up, you know, old enough to drive, they were like 16 probably years old, said, I was with some friends, we're driving downtown, said one of them pulls out a pellet gun and shoots a plate glass window and shatters it. I said, man, I hope you didn't ride with them again. You know, you just don't hang around. You'd stay out of that. You know, you watch out. Yeah, you try to help the rebel, but remember, it's going to be a running battle, okay? Because they crave that evil. They don't want to be corrected. So you're going to have a big job correcting them and helping them. Just be sure that in the process of you trying to help that rebel, that you don't get involved in something you don't want to be involved in. Look out for yourself. Take care, all right? Take care. I don't want to come see you at the jail because you were running around with somebody that was a rebel and you didn't know what was going to happen, but it happened and you were there and you got taken to jail too. Don't let it happen to you, okay? Don't let it happen to you. I used to always tell young people, I said, don't ever leave home without the money to make to put in a phone and a pay phone and make a phone call. Well, of course, we don't worry about that now, all right? You don't leave home without your phone, and on that phone, if you get in a situation you can't get out of by yourself, you were somebody else, then you call somebody to come get you. Oh, look, there's no sense in us getting into stuff that we've got that's going to cause us harm, ruin our good name, get us into trouble because we're hanging around trying to help this rebel. Yeah, you want to help them, you help them at your place, not at theirs. Okay? Be careful about it. Be wise about rebellion. They pay a great price. If they don't get right with God, they pay a great price down the line. Some of them live a long time and they live a life of bitterness and resentment. They're not happy. They don't enjoy life one bit in the world. Look out for that. Be wise about rebellion. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to understand.